Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel today. The book of Daniel. And let's look at Daniel chapter 3 here this evening for a few minutes. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, as I always like to do out of respect for the Word of God. We'll have a word of prayer and then you can be seated. For the sake of time, let me pick up reading here with verse 17. I'm sure you're familiar with the third chapter of the book of Daniel. You know the story there as far as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is concerned, and the leading up to it, because I want to begin with verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 16, because verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But now notice this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And notice this. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace. Notice, 17 times more than what was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats with hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Verse 27 says, and the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors came, gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any other god except their own God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. I pray, Father, that in these next few moments, you might speak to our hearts. Quicken, Lord, the mind. Loosen the tongue. Lord, you know my heart tonight is I do want to be a blessing to these good people here in this good church with their dear pastor. And I pray, Father, you would have your will and your way in each one of our hearts and lives now as we look to you and as we trust you. And as, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to do a work that only you can do. And we'll give you the praise, we pray, in our Savior's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you so much. Of course, I'm sure many of you know, you know the whole story here of this third chapter of the book of Daniel. But I wanted tonight, I want to take these verses which we have looked at, and I want to develop tonight a thought that continues on with where we started yesterday. Because your theme, I love your theme, daring to desire a double portion. Would to God we had more churches in the United States of America, beloved, that had that for a goal. It would not hurt. And I'm not talking now about neo-evangelicals. I'm not talking about the charismatic nuts. I'm talking about fundamental, independent, New Testament, soul-winning Baptist churches. That there would be a passion, there would be a desire to have that double portion of what God has for us. And I tonight want us to look at these three young men here that we find in the Word of God, because they were young. I personally believe they could very well have been in their late teens. Now I won't go to war over that. You might disagree with that. When we get to heaven, you'll find out I'm probably right. But and I'll still love you, and we'll still be buddies and all the rest of it. But I believe that there's a story here and there's some truth here that we need to see in this day and age, and Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to see if you're really serious about this double portion. It's one thing to get a banner and to put a sign on the banner and hang it up in the church. That's one thing. But it's another thing to say, now this is what we're going to do by the grace of God. That's a total different ballgame. See? And one of the problems we have in a lot of our churches today is we got a lot of people that are they're talking the walk, but they're not walking the talk. And what we need to understand as the salt and as the light of the world, we're the biggest Christian that many people probably know. And so it's not how we are talking, but how we are walking that we need to be mindful of and we need to be cognizant of in our daily living. Because in this story, I see a great principle here that I believe ties right into what your theme is all about this year. Because the double portion is not the norm in today's Christian life. I've got to be honest. Now, I'm not at Rosemont a lot. I have an office at Rosemont. I have a secretary at Rosemont. The story at Rosemont is he's just never here. And because I'm gone, well, first of all, I'm gone from November to April because I spent 35 years in that snowbound country, and Miami, Florida is my home. So we go south in the wintertime. Been doing it since I was 70 years old. I've been there. This is our 8th year down there now. And then we go back to Minnesota in the end of April whenever the bride, she watches the Weather Channel every single day. And when the snow is all gone and then she's ready to go back home, then we go back home and we stay there. We're there then in May, June, July, August, September, October, November, we go back to the Florida house. Now, because we have the grandbabies up there, well, we leave a car down there and then we fly back to Minnesota in the month of December because that's the Christmas thing. And the church family just like us to be there and so forth. We have a big thing that goes on every Christmas. And then we go back in January. But I'm not really cognizant of, you know, the church family as I used to be when I was the senior pastor. But I can say this honestly tonight, that there are many, many people that are at First Baptist Church of Rosemont that would not be a people that is seeking the double portion. Matter of fact, I told you this yesterday. In the time I was pastoring that church, I would say from the pulpit sometimes, I don't know why some of you all are even members of the church. You put your conscience money in the offering plate on Sunday morning, and then it's see you next Sunday morning, preacher, and they're gone. You say, well, that's not a wise program. Well, I'd rather have a dozen folks serving God seriously than have two dozen serving Him half-heartedly. We're sort of down to our pie thing. There's a great truth, brother, you gave me in that puppy tonight. That's going to come back around. But no, if you're serious about this, the Christian who desires that double portion, that's the child of God. That's the child of God who says, God, I surrender. I surrender to you. God, I'm serious about this. God, I'm going to trust you. Because you're never going to know God's double portion if you're not trusting God. Because God's going to be the one that gives it to you. You're not going to get that through the process of osmosis. You're going to get that by trusting God. Because as you begin to ask God for that double portion, let me tell you, there's going to be some issues that are coming down your pathway. There's going to be some difficult times. There are going to be some difficult days. Let me ask you this. How many of you know how to swim? How many know how to swim? Hold your hand way up high. Oh, good, good. All right, put your hands down. Now, let me ask you again another question. How many learn to swim through a correspondence course? Hold your hand up. Nobody? Oh. Boy, that's strange. No, it's not strange, is it? What did you have to do to learn how to swim? You had to get in that ocean. You got to get in that lake. You got to get in that river. You got to get in that pool. And you give yourself to the water so you can learn how to swim. And that's exactly how you get the double portion of God's blessing and power. You got to trust Him. See, that's not going to come about in your life through the normal walk of the average Christian. It isn't going to happen. What has kept Jerry Murphy on a bus route in First Baptist Church of Rosemont for 35 years is God has given that man a double portion of his thirst, his desire for those bus kids. That's what's kept him on that bus 35 years. Led him to Christ, baptized him, joined the church. 9 months later, he was on a bus. And he's been there now for 35 years. Not a young man anymore. Not a young man. Now in his late 60s. Doesn't have the health he used to have. But he's on that bus every week. Every single week. 25 below, 30 below, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's on that bus every single week. Unless he is sick. And I mean when he says he's sick, he's sick. He's sick. He's been on that bus when a lot of folks at that church would not even have been in church because they would have said, I'm sick. So you've got to understand that your theme, though a wonderful theme, is a challenging theme. And as you look here at this story that we have looked at tonight in Daniel chapter 3, I want to point out to you some things that is in this scripture that I think you need to be mindful of. Because when you say, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to believe you. God, I believe that the burden of preacher's heart is that we as a people of God at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, as we seek to know a double portion of that God which you have for us. See, you're throwing your trust on Him. And when you start putting your trust in God, you make up your mind, your faith will be challenged. It's going to be challenged. The devil isn't going to sit by and idly let a church family decree before the God of heaven that we are going to be a ministry that in the year 2010 is going to seek to know a double portion of what God has for us. He's not going to take that lying down. And if you look at the first seven verses of chapter 3 here in your Bible, you'll find that there is all kind of indication in those seven verses that, hey, The story is clear. The story is plain. There's no doubt about it. It's a marvelous occasion. But boy, there's these three Jews, and they're not going with the flow. They're not excited about this thing. Look at what your scripture says. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, whose breadth of 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together, and he gathered together all of the princes. He gathered together the governors. He gathered together the captains, the judges, etc., etc., etc. And then an herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that you're going to bow down and you're going to worship this image of our king." But the problem that we have here is along come these three Jews, and they said, "Wait, we can't do that. We just simply cannot do that." Always make up your mind when you say, "I'm going to trust God," you're going to be challenged. And usually the way you'll be challenged is to compromise. That's the second thing you want to remember. The devil will seek to get you to... That's exactly what's happened in our Baptist churches, preacher. That's exactly what's happened. I mean, churches that used to have that blessed King James Bible that you preach from this evening. That Bible that's on that pulpit right now. They used to preach that same Bible. They ran buses. They went soul winning. And there were some folks that started coming along. And there was other preachers that started having schools and started having all kind of meetings and started talking to them about all of this wonderful new types of ministries that we can have that will reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And our country is going to hell faster today than it's ever been going to hell. So it doesn't look like it's been working to me. And it was a compromise. I can remember old Brother Howes when he was with us year after year at First Baptist Church at Rosemont. He always used to say this, always remember, the devil moves the landmark an inch at a time. An inch at a time. And he'd say, 50 years ago, here was the church. And here was the world. And 50 years have gone by now, and the world is here, and the church is here. The church is where the world used to be 50 years ago. And the devil has moved the landmark. Compromise. You watch out for compromise. Look at verse 13 in this third chapter. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" All you got to do is just bow down when the music comes up. What's the big deal? No big deal. Good night above. Well, what's the big deal about being faithful in Sunday school and Sunday morning and then Sunday night? And bless God, then they want us to come back on Wednesday night. What's the big deal? It's called faithfulness. You can't build a doghouse with unfaithful people. Never mind a New Testament fundamental independent Baptist church. And that's the plan. You can see it right here. Watch out for compromise. Because when you say you're going to trust God, the devil is going to start working. He's going to start working. And then there's a third attack. Because if that doesn't work, if that doesn't work, then when you say, I'm going to trust God, when you determine, I'm going to really trust God, you know what you're really saying? You're saying, God, I'm surrendering to your will for my life. I know a little bit about that. I was in a Bible conference at First Baptist Church of Westwood Lake in 1960. I was as active as any man in that church. I was there every time the doors opened. I was tithing. I was giving the Faith Promise missions. God was blessing. Oh, mercy, God was blessing. We had three wonderful, healthy children. I bought a new home when I was 25 years old. In 1960, I brought home paychecks of over $1,000 for 2 weeks. 1960, that was pretty serious money. Especially when you paid $9,800 for a brand new 3-bedroom home. And God said to me, are you surrendered to my will or not? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because when you are saying you will trust God, you're really saying, God, I've surrendered to your will. What your will is for my life is what I want. Mom and Daddy, that includes your kids. There's young people at First Baptist Church, or were at First Baptist Church, that went to the same school that she graduated from. Because we've had a Christian school since 1971. Who felt God was leading them into full-time Christian ministry, and Mom and Daddy said no. And today, they've paid a dear price. I told the preacher today, driving back from lunch over there at the gun club where we went for that sandwich, I told the preacher today one of the stories, a young man, 15 years of age, walked down the aisle in the early days of our ministry, surrendered to preach, wrote it in his Bible, put the date, and then he wrote these words, I've never been more happy. Before that young man reached his 19th birthday, because he was 18 when it happened, he shot himself in the head with a .45 caliber gun. And he died before I got to the hospital. What happened? Oh, I'll tell you what happened. His mom and dad, who were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, worked in our children's church ministry. They got an opportunity to buy a restaurant. And they bought the restaurant. And the restaurant was open on Sunday. And so they weren't in church anymore on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And as that boy just drifted away further and further and further and further away, God took him home before his 19th birthday. That mother and father have never been the same since. That's years ago. When I preached his funeral, I asked the family if I could use his Bible, because I knew what was in his Bible. And I read that at the funeral. Don't tell God you're trusting him, but yet you won't surrender to his will. It's called lying. It's called disobedience. Now, that's pretty. That's pretty firm. But see, God really owns us. Because as a Christian, you've been what? Bought. You've been purchased. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So the double portion is a wonderful theme. But that theme carries all kind of responsibility. But here's the other side of the coin you need to remember. When you trust God, you're never alone.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
That's
1 John chapter 4. Because within us, glory to God, is the Spirit of the living God. No, never alone. No, never alone. Our first winter in Minnesota, 1967, Christmas Day, our youngest son, 28 months old, number 4, was born when I was in seminary. He wasn't planned, but God decided he was going to even the score. So anything we voted on would always be 3-3. The guys always hung with Dad, thank God. Twenty-eight months old, Christmas morning, he's in Sanford Memorial Hospital in the town of Farmington, 7 miles south of Rosemont, with double pneumonia. I'd been at the church since June the 18th of that same year. Our first winter. We had a little house that we rented. They didn't have a parsonage. Of course, we only started with 17 people, so... Matter of fact, they had already met and voted to close or to stop the attempt that they were having to start the work. And found out about a preacher graduating from Tennessee Temple through a young man that worked in my chapel in Tennessee who had gone to California, and they called him because his father pastored in South St. Paul. They asked him to come, and he said, no. He said, I'm where I believe God wants me. Probably said it whether it was true or not. He said, but I know a guy that you could call. He gave him my name. We only had a handful of people. We're living in a rented house. It was many mornings, it'd be in the low 50s in our children's bedroom. Because the old furnace that we had, it wasn't putting out heat. Well, when it's 20 below zero, you got to have some oomph in that furnace. And the furnace was probably, I think it was installed when Lincoln was president. But we're standing there at this glass window looking at that little 28 or 28-month baby in this oxygen tent. They had tents back in those days. My wife is standing here, and she's crying. And Sarah was standing next to her, and she's crying. And Lori was standing here by me, and she's crying. And Rick, our oldest boy, but our third child, he was standing next to his big sister, and he's crying. And I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, why did you send me to this frozen tundra? And I heard no voice, and there was no phone there that rang, but a sweet peace came over my soul. And the Spirit of the living God said, you're not alone. I'm right here, son. Just keep trusting me. The doctor told us that he'd be in the hospital at least 2 weeks if he lived. We took that boy home on December the 28th because the great physician intervened. Because he who created us is quite capable of taking care of us. So always remember that. Though the battles will be there and the trials and the tribulations will come, there'll be fiery furnaces. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they found that out. But always remind yourself, you're never alone. Because if you'll read verse 24 and verse 25 and verse 26 and verse 27, which we already read, you'll read that again, you'll find that God was there with those three Hebrew children. They weren't by themselves. Oh, Jesus climbed right in there with them, bless God. I wish that the God of heaven, I could somehow have a picture of Nebuchadnezzar looking in there. Bless God, we put three in there, there's one more. Where did he come from? And you know, it's not by accident, I believe, it's not by accident that what he says, what Nebuchadnezzar says there in that verse of Scripture, he says, the fourth looks like the Son of God. Hey. Have you ever thought about that? Hey. Yeah. How did he know what the Son of God looked like? But you're not alone. Let me give you one more, and we got to go because the clock has moved past where I wanted to be. But finally, always remember this. Always remember, if you'll trust in God, others will be blessed. Amen. One of the great joys of this old 78th old preacher tonight is to see folks all over the world that are a blessing to my soul. I got kids all over America that call me preacher. Preacher said it tonight. That little girl, well, she's a young lady. Now she's a grandmother now. But I'll always be her preacher. And if you get anybody else, I'll shoot you. I love her. I love her like you cannot imagine. She got a sister that I just love to death. I married her. I married her sister. I've got 9 weddings this summer. I married most of those kids that I'm marrying this summer. I married their mom and daddy. Hey. Wouldn't trade places with the King of England if there was one. No way this side of heaven. Why, God has blessed me. He has blessed me beyond measure. Yeah. And when I went there to that, I had no idea what God... Matter of fact, I've got to be honest and say this. I've said it in other places. I might as well say it here. I went there to be a missionary for 3 years and I was out. I didn't plan to spend 35 years there. No. Well, like I told you yesterday, my daddy didn't raise any dumb boys. Know who they are. If he did, one of my three ignorant brothers is not me. But beloved, you will be blessed. Because if you read on there, and we're out of time, but if you read verse 28 and if you read verse 29 and if you read verse 30 there, you'll see there was a tremendous testimony from this is a pagan king. And when you start reading what he says, look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And then you read verse 30, It goes on and says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I'll tell you tonight, there will always be the blessing of seeing other people that you will rejoice in when you seek a double portion and you recognize that, yes, there is responsibility, but there's also blessings. May God help us, people, in this day and age in which we live. A day and age where wickedness and evil is running rampant. This young preacher fighting the gambling in Kentucky, why, we've got at least a half a dozen casinos in Minnesota that are all owned by the Indians that are literally raking billions of dollars into their coffers. And the way they sold that over the years was that it's going to solve all of our money problems. And the budget in Minnesota right now is $4 billion in debt. They're $4 billion from making their budget. It's a lie born in the pits of hell. And shame, 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 many of God's people bought into it. They bought into it because it's going to lower our taxes. Why, they lie through their teeth. As I've said so many times, why, you can tell when a politician is lying. Folks say, how can you know? When his mouth is moving, he's lying. The only thing those rascals can do is count. They get elected and their immediate goal, 99%, well, maybe 98% of the time, is to get reelected. Every one of them, they get up in the morning and they put their finger up and see which way the wind is blowing. They want to check the latest poll and see how they're doing. God in heaven, give us some people that know Jesus Christ who have some character, and let's put them in the place of leadership in our country and bring this nation back to God. And the only way we're going to do that is if God's people, by the grace of God, will say, God, give me a double portion. Give me a double portion.